You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
You can call this class warfare all you want, but asking a billionaire to pay at least as much as his secretary in taxes? Most Americans would call that common sense.
I have a mansion, forget the price. Ain't never been there, they tell me it's nice.
Little Joe Walsh there. Joe Walsh says, life's been good. Well, President Obama may not have said the words Mitt Romney in Tuesday's State of the Union address, but everybody heard it. Romney's 14 to 15% tax rate and his annual $1 million unemployment check were the unspoken, tacit aim of that attack. But there's been a common mantra in this election cycle. Okay, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is too rich to understand the American people. He's out of touch and thus not fit to be president. But here's a question. Are rich people really that out of touch? And if so, why is it that we consistently elect very rich people to be our presidents? Well, William P. Barrett is senior editor at Forbes, and he's written extensively about the bank accounts of American presidents. William, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Mitt Romney said yesterday, I believe, when he was asked that his personal fortune is worth between 150 and 200 some odd million dollars. Let's just call that quarter billionaire for the sake of brevity. Does that make him the richest potential president in U.S. history?
Well, not by our calculation. We've done a list of who we think are the 10 richest presidents. He would probably rank about fourth behind George Washington, Herbert Hoover, and Thomas Jefferson. But it's also true that no truly poor person has ever become president of the United States.
Has any middle-class person ever become president of the United States?
Well, maybe Harry Truman.
Hmm. I mean, Joe Biden is solidly middle-class, right? His financial disclosure when he was senator showed basically no assets except his house. Not president.
He's not president either.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, William Barrett, help us delve into this American sort of conflict about rich presidents. Mitt Romney is not the first candidate to be attacked for being out of touch, not by a long shot. And yet, as you say, we've never elected a president who's poor. We've, seems like 99% of them have been rich. Why this conflict in the American mind? We don't want them, and then we elect them every time.
Well, you have you have a ballot. You've got two candidates, and you have to pick one over the other. I think the one reason that more affluent people run for president, you sort of have to be more affluent. A lot of times you don't have a job. You need some assets to keep going. That's one of the reasons I think that the poor tends to not be part of this.
Well, this is the perfect place to turn to Pamela Haig, because Pamela is a rich person, but she hasn't always been. Pamela, you were solidly middle class for most of your life until about, 5 or 6 years ago, and now you're what your father calls filthy rich?
Well, yes. I don't know if that still applies. We've been affected by the recession like everyone else.
Right.
But I grew up very much in a lower middle class background and entered the middle class after getting a PhD. And then my husband unexpectedly made money at one time and very suddenly. And that changed our status.
All right, Pamela Haig. So you have been lower middle class and you're now you're now a wealthy person. What about this?
I don't want to Romney, though.
Okay. Well, right. Well, fair enough. But you're in a unique position to answer this question. What about the charge that somebody who is extremely wealthy can't relate to the rest of us? Because you've been the rest of us, and now you're you. So what about this charge?
Well, I think, to be honest, parts of it are fair. One of the major changes that I felt was that since our lifestyle didn't change at all, we were still very much living like middle-class people, and we still are today. We didn't buy a bigger home. We didn't trade up our cars. Having extra resources and having a cushion sort of created a little trap door in my life. I no longer had to show up at the job that I had mixed feelings about. And I think that, for example, Mitt Romney made a point of saying he understood what it was like to be unemployed. I'm not entirely persuaded by that. I think that to be unemployed when you have a cushion and when you have resources and putting food on the table doesn't depend on that job really does change your idea of employment pretty dramatically. That's one example.
Does it change your idea, your connection to what most of us think of as real life concerns. Sure, you don't think about paying the bills and paying the credit card, but overall stresses, concerns about your life, the concerns that politics might solve or that people think they want their presidents to solve. Do you forget about that stuff when you're wealthy?
Right. Well, I should say all the interpersonal and personal problems are all the same. I think that it requires slightly different skills to keep staying in touch. You know, when I was just in the middle class and always thinking about real estate and how we were going to buy a house, I could easily calculate a mortgage payment in my head. That was just something that was really important to me in my own life. When that becomes unimportant, when you solve that problem, it requires a skill of listening, paying attention, having empathy, having imagination. And also, you know, my story is one of becoming and not being. I wasn't born with money. I don't know how those people feel or look at things. But if you suddenly acquire more money and earn more money, you don't suddenly forget the personality you had as a middle-class person. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, you still are very much in touch with all the life skills that you grew up with.
William P. Barrett, this makes me want to ask you if there's a difference in the mind of the American voter, perhaps, between what Pamela Haag is describing, born rich versus becoming rich, a.k.a. the American dream. Do voters view separately a candidate whose name is Roosevelt, who's always been wealthy, versus one who, like Bill Clinton, came from the town of Hope and had a troubled childhood and became successful?
Well, I don't know. You know, Ross Perot made an interesting run for the presidency in 1992, and he was self-made. He was very rich. He was on the Forbes 400. He may be the only candidate for president we've had who was on the Forbes 400 list and ran. So, I don't know.
Yeah. What about the notion of presidents themselves when they're accused of being out of touch? Every president's out of touch. They live in a bubble. They're protected by the Secret Service. They're in the White House. They have their own jet. They're not like the rest of us. And yet, somebody like George H.W. Bush was destroyed back in the 90s, rhetorically, when he didn't know the price of a gallon of milk. Remember that? What is out of touch really about when we think about presidents?
Well, that seems to be a question that's asked of every candidate now. I'm sure when somebody declares, their advisors tell them to know the price of milk, the price of bread, how to use a credit card. I mean, I remember that the first Bush got skewed because he had never seen a barcode reader at a supermarket.
Right. Pamela Haag, should we care if the president doesn't know the price of a bottle of milk? Is that what we should expect from our presidents, or if they're amazed by a barcode scanner when everybody else has been using one for years?
that was a really dramatic moment. I mean, I think they have to know certain fundamentals and basics of the reality in the country that they want to govern. But on the other hand, my personal opinion is that I don't actually want presidents to be basing policy decisions solely on their personal experiences. I think that Roosevelt was certainly in touch with the needs of the working classes, even though he hadn't personally lived in those classes. So I think that at the level of the presidency, I at least would hope that they're drawing on a whole repertoire of skills. You know, they're thinking, they're using their policy advisors. But maybe there is something to being viscerally connected, you know, to the experiences of most Americans who do know what a barcode is and they know how to use a credit card. And, you know, you do, knowing the price of basic commodities and gallons of milk, you know, it seems like common sense would tell us that's a good quality.
Maybe Americans just want to feel like the president is sort of like them. William Barrett, I want to leave it with you. We should talk about Barack Obama, too, the president, because he's not poor. He's worth something on the order of, what, $7 to $9 million. Where does that put him in the annals of rich presidents?
Well, we figured him at about $10 million. Well, he's not in the top 10. He's not probably at the bottom. And, of course, he has, in today's media age, tremendous potential to make huge amounts of money once he gets out of office, whenever that is. I mean, Bill Clinton, for instance, who wasn't poor when he got elected, but has probably never been richer than he is today.
Speaking fees, and he's all over the place, and any former president probably has the chance to do that. Certainly George W. Bush has the chance to charge a lot of money with speaking fees as well. Well, William P. Barrett, senior editor at Forbes, and Pamela Haag, who is a columnist for Big Think magazine, and for the purposes of this segment, a wealthy woman. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, a listener with the handle SJR posted to thetakeaway.org, sure, Romney's out of touch, but so is the entire political class. It's easy to target only the extremely wealthy politicians, but we need to realize that most politicians are pretty well off and few of them know how real Americans live. Well, we want to hear from you, of course. Do you want politicians to understand how you live? And what would you show a politician, a presidential candidate, a senator, or any rich person to make them understand your life? Does it really matter? Do you want a politician who understands the minutiae of your life, or do you want someone who just knows how to lead the country? Tell us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to the website at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John and Celeste. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.